Now stay tuned for the Sunday morning wake-up call on 94.7 WPVC-LP Charlottesville. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Now here's your host, Rick Moore.
Good Sunday morning. It is not Rick Moore. This is Sean McCord, a voice you haven't heard in a while, but I'm sitting across from Wes Harris and Jody Kilbasa of the Virginia Film Festival. Gentlemen, first of all, thank you for coming back here. We've done this many years. Jody, almost your whole time here, but tell us your titles so I don't munge them.
Well, Sean, I'm the director of the Virginia Film Festival. Mm-hmm. I'm also vice provost for the arts at the University of Virginia. And this is my 10th Virginia Film Festival.
I know, it's very exciting. That was Jody Kilbasa. And Wes?
I'm Wesley Harris, and I'm the festival programmer. I work with Jody and some of our associating guest curators to curate that slate of 100 to 200 counting shorts films. And counting intern years, this is actually my 12th year, and I feel really kind of excited to have been able here with Jody for all 10 of his, and it's really something to be able to look back while still working forward.
Yeah, yeah. And you all have been our guests here on the Wake Up Call in our various iterations in different studios since you've been here, Jody. So thank you for being here. So the Virginia Film Festival runs November 1st through 4th. So it starts this coming Thursday. Mm-hmm. And you can find, I'm holding right here in my hand, a little audio aid there, the official program of the Virginia Film Festival. You can see these stacked all over the place. Where can you get these, Wes? Where can you get the official programs?
So they're inserted into the current issue of Seville Weekly all around town. There are designated stands just of the program itself at our box offices, at different supermarkets throughout town. And everything that's in there is also mirrored on our website at virginiafilmfestival.org.
.org.
Yeah. But for those who like that tactile paper touch, these really lovely programs that Seville Weekly designs and publishes for us, they're all around town, and again, in the current issue of Seville Weekly.
Mm-hmm. And the current program, which is lovely to look at, they do a great job every year. It's over 100 pages, and turn to page 102, as I am now. You actually get a grid Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday of all the different films that are showing. How many films are we showing this year, Jody?
You know, I don't think we've counted every one of them, but we know it's far north of 150 films. And yes, and we've added additional venues this year. So,
right. Well, let's for people who are who have come to the festival in the past, let's talk about those new venues. Let's talk about all the venues.
Okay, we'll talk. Of course, we screen on the grounds of the University of Virginia at Culber Theater and Newcomb Theaters. We also screen at the Violet Crown on the downtown mall, at the old Vinegar Hill Theater, which is now Lighthouse Studios. Of course, at the Paramount Theater on the downtown mall, mm-hmm. at St. Anne's Belfield. If you've not been there, they have a beautiful performing arts center with 465 seats. At the Piedmont Community College, which also has a lovely auditorium of 500 seats. And this year we've added the Jefferson School, the African American Heritage Center, as a screening venue, and Alamo as well. So a lot of, a couple new venues. We've continued to expand over the years. And we're also, we have a number of panels that are going to happen at Common House, also on the downtown mall.
What is Common House for those who are not familiar with it?
Well, Common House is a private venue. It serves as an opportunity for people to have a sort of an office on the downtown mall if they do not have their own facility, and it's a club as well. But for this event, it is open to the general public. It's free. Our panels are free, and it's where we're headquartering our virtual reality lab, which is a great experience for anybody who wants to drop by and try that experience out, and also a number of panels that we're doing during the festival, all of which are highlighted on our website at virginiafilmfestival.org or in this beautiful program in Seville as we speak.
We're talking to Jody Kilbasa and Wes Harris of the Virginia Film Festival on 94.7 WPVC. And this is, I wanted to mention the venues, one, just to sort of refamiliarize our people with the scope of this thing, and also to reiterate how much the community has become is involved in the Virginia Film Festival. We are the Virginia Film Festival. I saw someone on Facebook the other day refer to the Charlottesville Film Festival. Yeah. I said, well, it's the Virginia Film Festival. If it takes place in Charlottesville and is sponsored by the University of Virginia and the College of Fine Arts, but also all, you know, on the downtown mall, on venues all over town. And as you said, we can pick up the program right here and take a look at all the places. Okay, so you mentioned the Paramount, which, man, what a great venue for seeing films, for seeing anything. But it's just spectacular. And what I particularly love is that at the Paramount every year you have evening screenings of some of your keystone pictures. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about how we're opening the festival on Thursday.
We're opening the festival with the film Green Book. This won the Toronto International Film Festival's Audience Favorite Award. It stars Mahershala Ali, who burst on the scene a couple of years ago in Moonlight, Viggo Mortensen, and it is all about a famed jazz pianist who has to tour the South in 1962. So, of course, it's Jim Crow era, and he has to navigate where he can stay, where he can perform, and he hires a Brooklyn bouncer, Viggo Mortensen, to help him in that journey. What we found particularly interesting is not long after we decided to open with this film and put it in the Paramount, we discovered that the Paramount Theater was a historic Green Book venue. And if you're not familiar with the Green Book, it was published by an African-American out of New York to sort of guide African-Americans through the Jim Crow South in the 50s and 60s, where they could eat, where they could stay, parks that were open to them, swimming pools they could swim in, performance venues they could attend, hotels they could stay in, all of these things. Sadly enough, that this was something that had to be published in our yeah. country for individuals to navigate the Jim Crow South at that time. And so it was fascinating to know that the Paramount Theater was one of these venues that at the time allowed African Americans to participate in performances or screenings that were happening there, albeit even at that time it was segregated, of course.
Right. And we learned just the other day, actually, in that author who got in touch with us, it's estimated that fewer than 3% of the original Green Book venues are still operational. So we may indeed be the only festival in the country to be featuring this very special film in this almost just very important and serendipitous setting in an original Green Book venue. So we're very proud and humbled by that fact.
And part of the ongoing conversation that we here in Charlottesville particularly want to have about race and equality in America. I know, Wes, when you were here last year, was the first film festival after the events of August 11 and 12, we talked about the responsibility that something like the Virginia Film Festival has to address these issues, and we're continuing to have this conversation. I note that this film is supported by the Office for Diversity and Equity and the Office for Equal Opportunity and Civil Rights.
Well, it's also part of a larger series that we're doing in partnership with Montpelier, Race in America. Mm-hmm. And we have a number of high-profile films and also perhaps less high-profile films throughout the festival that look at this subject very carefully and thoughtfully. It remains something that's very important to us personally here at the Virginia Film Festival. I think it's very important within our community of Charlottesville. You know, a perfect example of this is another highlight of the festival will be on Saturday afternoon at 4 o'clock in the Paramount Theater, and that is a new documentary entitled Charlottesville about the tragic events of August 11th and 12th. It was produced by Larry Sabato and the Center for Politics in partnership with the Community Ideas Station. It has an entirely new look at those events with certainly new people, a new activists perhaps that were not interviewed in other documentaries in the past that have their take on the events. And we're bringing in Martin Luther King III, a renowned civil rights activist, to give a community address in the Paramount Theater immediately following this screening. And then he will sit down with Professor Sabato for a moderated conversation about those events and the current state of affairs in our country regarding race.
And you mentioned, Jody, that this presentation in Charlottesville at 4 o'clock on Saturday is presented by Community Idea Stations. Who are the Community Idea Stations, and what is our new relationship with them this year?
Well, the Community Idea Stations, is a series of public broadcasting stations mm-hmm. throughout the Commonwealth, and the one here in town was involved along with Richmond in producing this documentary. And we are going to be hosting it's really going to be where we host you, Sean, I might add, in our podcast. Was that a leading question that you were asking?
I opened the door and you walked in. Yes.
Yeah. And so during the festival, you'll be interviewing a lot of our special guests and our filmmakers there, and those will be available online through podcasts as well. So it's a deeper partnership that we have with them throughout the festival.
And there's actually a second film in addition to Charlottesville mm-hmm. that Community Idea Station has produced that will be featuring, called Revolutionizing Dementia Care.
Right.
And we'll be showing that in the Violet Crown Theater on Thursday evening. And this focuses on individuals with early onset dementia or Alzheimer's who are still functional, who are still living lives and contributing. And it centers largely around this kind of slogan of nothing about us without us. These individuals who are still their selves, still lucid, but grappling with this new change in their lives. And we have a panel of four of the individuals featured in the film who are traveling into the state especially for this, and it focuses on a new patient-centric, compassionate care approach, which truly is upending and revolutionizing the way that individuals, persons in these cases are being dealt, are dealing with this change in their lives.
You mentioned the panels. I think that's one of the strengths of the Virginia Film Festival. Reminder, we're talking to Jody Kilbas and Wes Harris of the Virginia Film Festival here on 94.7 WPVC. And that is, it's not just an opportunity to come see over 100 films, so many films that you can't even count over 4 days, but to have intelligent discussions afterwards with filmmakers or with people involved in the themes that the films are addressing. And if you haven't been to the film festival before, if you were new to town or just never thought of going before, this is, I think, is one of the strengths of the festivals, is not just getting a chance to go see film, because we have many, many opportunities to see films these days, but then to engage in thoughtful discussions afterwards with panelists, with people, with visiting guests, with scholars from UVA, with people, from people in town who are experts in their field, and the Charlottesville audiences and the people who come in to Charlottesville for the Virginia Film Festival, I think, really enjoy that part of it, to be able to talk about a film afterwards.
One of the things they enjoy, I think, as well, too, and this is getting back to your earlier question of some of the higher profile films that, mm-hmm. that we screen at the Paramount Theater. We talked a little briefly about Green Book. On Friday night, we're screening The Favorite. And that is a new film out that is by Yorgos Lanthimos, who fans out there will know for The Lobster that was out 2 years ago. He's a quirky filmmaker. This is a little bit more traditional, but it stars Emma Stone and Rachel Weisz and Olivia Colman, and it takes a look at the reign of Queen Anne in England in the early 1700s and the two favorites in her court that vie for her favor and for control. And it's an incredible film. Tremendous buzz out on this film. On Saturday evening, Alfonso Cuarón's masterpiece, Roma, we'll be screening at the Paramount Theater. And this is just a stunning film I saw at the Telluride Film Festival. It's shot in black and white. It's about his growing up in Mexico. And it is just an amazing film. And then Sunday, we're closing the festival mm-hmm. with a film that I find to be fascinating and so topical right now, The Front Runner.
Yeah.
It stars Hugh Jackman and Vera Farmiga. And Jackman portrays the presidential candidate, Gary Hart, who for 3 brief weeks was the presidential front runner until everything imploded based on an affair that he had that made national news. And it was interesting because we programmed this film and decided to have it as our closing night film. And of course, then the hearings happened with Kavanaugh.
Mm-hmm.
And all of these issues boiled to the top of personal integrity, moral character, judgment, and also the right to privacy, which are all dealt with quite well in this incredible film, The Front Runner. And we were able to throw in another high-profile film that people are really buzzing about, and that is Widows, Steve McQueen's film, which is a departure from what he's done. It's more of a thriller. It's got an incredible all-star cast, and people are very excited about this film as well. So those are just some of the high-profile, likely to be Oscar contenders, Golden Globe contenders that we're screening at this year's Virginia Film Festival.
And both Widows and Frontrunner are closing night films Sunday night at 7:30. You know, it's as a programmer, I know it's a good thing for people to have to make hard choices on having so many good options before them. Before we take our first break in just a couple of minutes, let's talk about some of our guests who are going to be here, and newsflash, who will not be here in person this year.
Well, sure. So to that last point, one of the main focuses in our program this year is a tribute to Orson Welles.
Mm-hmm.
There is a new Orson Welles film out this year, 2018, which is very exciting. The reason that film was able to come to fruition after nearly half a century of lingering on the shelves and mired in both political and rights issues, Peter Bogdanovich was instrumental in finally bringing this to life.
Tell us the title, Wes.
The film itself is The Other Side of the Wind.
Right.
And there's a companion documentary about that process I just described called They'll Love Me When I'm Dead, which is a line that Welles spouted about. Unfortunately, Peter broke his leg in France just about a week ago.
Yeah.
And will be unable to join us in person now. But he is on his way back home in Los Angeles, and he'll be in recovery and will still be joining us via Skype in a discussion of both The Other Side of the Wind as well as his new film, The Great Buster, which is about the silent film icon, one of my favorite filmmakers, Buster Keaton.
Mine as well.
And both of those discussions will be moderated by Turner Classic Movies host Ben Mankiewicz, who will be returning to the festival for the third time. And Ben is now something of an ambassador of ours, so the through line he's able to give and the coverage he's able to provide us, even though Peter won't be able to be here in person, is really invaluable.
Yeah, Ben Mankiewicz is a familiar face to people who regularly watch Turner Classic Movies, and this is his, I was corrected earlier, this is his third year in a row.
Second year in a row, but he was here years ago for a discussion of Badlands with Sissy Spacek and Jack Fisk as part of our National Film Registry series of the Library of Congress. And, of course, as the host now of Turner Classic Movies, it's a true thrill and honor to have Ben back.
Yeah. I'm talking to Jody Kilbasa, director of the Virginia Film Festival, and Wes Harris, programmer of the Virginia Film Festival. You can pick up the program all around town. You can look at films and buy tickets at virginiafilmfestival.org. You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.
It's Virginia Film Festival director Jody Kilbasa talking about this year's event.
This year we'll continue with our Race in America program in partnership with James Madison's Montpelier. This is such an important program to continue a discussion here in our community about race in America, given what happened here 15 months ago. Last year we had Spike Lee in for screening Four Little Girls, and this year we're screening a new documentary by Larry Sabato and the Center for Politics, and we're bringing in Martin Luther King III, who will deliver a community address immediately following the screening and follow up with a moderated conversation with Professor Larry Sabato about those events in Charlottesville. So that should be an absolutely extraordinary event.
The 31st Annual Virginia Film Festival is November 1st through the 4th at theaters all around Charlottesville. For info and tickets, it's virginiafilmfestival.org.
Well, that was a familiar sounding voice there on our PSA. That was Jody Kielbasa talking about the Virginia Film Festival. Who's also my guest this morning, Jody Kielbasa, sitting across from me, and Wes Harris. How are we? Let's just talk about marketing for just a minute. This is your 10th Virginia Film Festival, Jody. How has marketing of the festival changed over the past 10 years?
Well, you know, I think it continues to grow. I'm just astounded by the presence that we have in the community, on air, of course, with radio, and on television, in the Daily Progress, in Seville, and countless other publications. In this morning's Daily Progress, there's a full page article on the festival. And of course, one of our guests who we'll talk about in a little bit, Alan Hughes. Mm-hmm. There's a beautiful full page color ad on the back of the front section of this morning's Daily Progress as well. And of course, the Seville coverage is extraordinary, leading up to and during the festival itself. And of course, that's where we dropped 40,000 of our over 100-page glossy color program as well. So I think the word is out there, and I hope everybody in Charlottesville is aware of how accessible the festival is. Almost all of our films are the price of a normal movie, and yet we bring in the guest artists and discussants to talk about these films as well. With over 150 plus films in the festival, we have a wide variety of subjects that we can present. Some are just about entertainment. Some are about serious subjects that will resonate here in our community. So this is truly Charlottesville's film festival, and that's very important to me. We're a program of the University of Virginia. We are the state film festival for the Commonwealth of Virginia, but it's here in Charlottesville, and it's the Charlottesville Communities Film Festival.
And I've mentioned the website a few times, virginiafilmfestival.org. Not only can you go there and see the schedule that's printed here in the program and buy your tickets, but you can actually kind of drill down, and the way it's set up, you can say, okay, I'm interested in comedies, or I'm interested in documentaries, or there's a few classifications like that. Also, Wes, I remember when you were a student not that long ago. What about students here at UVA? How can they how can they come see the film festival?
Well, there's a lot of ways that they can interact with, and beyond just attending, which but to that point first, we are really proud to be able to offer full-time UVA undergraduate and graduate students the ability to attend the festival at zero cost.
Right.
This is the Arts Dollars program, of which Jody's a great champion, and as far as we know, is fairly one of a kind. A lot of universities are able to offer discounted attendance packages or something of this sort, but UVA students are able to take in our program, build their own track. I encourage them to take advantage of that to the fullest degree that they can up until the evening prior to an event through the festival. They can reserve those online or in person at the UVA Arts box office, and we're very proud of it, and students are not even always aware of the fact that the program exists, and it's radically different from what it was when I was a student. It's a I would say an insanely unique opportunity for them. On top of that, we also have a very robust internship program where we're able to bring in students who are really integral in our production of the festival, in all different facets, from marketing to fundraising to operations. And this year, we're really pleased to be launching the Festival Scholars Program, which was a competitive application process for about a dozen UVA students to have an inside, behind-the-scenes track through the festival with lead scholar Harry Chotner from NYU, who's a longtime friend of the festival. We'll be pairing them with something like a syllabus of set group screenings that they'll all attend together, seminar meetings. Jody and I will probably pop in a couple of times to discuss with them, send guests their way. So it's just another way that we keep very high on our list of priorities that service of students at our home at UVA.
And those are UVA students, but more broadly beyond that, we have a very robust outreach and education program that we're very proud of. We work in partnership with Lighthouse, which is an incredible filmmaking organization in town, and we have a Young Filmmakers Academy for elementary school and middle school students. Students write, create, produce, edit, direct, and star in their own 2-minute short films that we present on Family Day at the Virginia Film Festival. Festival, which is at the Betsy and John Castine Arts Grounds. That's free and open to the public. We also have a free screening of Coco that morning, the Pixar classic,
right.
Along with, it's the 90th anniversary of Steamboat Willie, the first sound short with Mickey Mouse that really launched the Mickey Mouse and the whole Disney career, which is really quite amazing. And that's all free, along with a series of interactive workshops, free and open to the general public for kids and students and families to attend. And another thing we're very proud of is we are doing a high school screening of Science Fair, which is a new National Geographic documentary about Science Fair competitions in high school. And the local educator Matt Shields from Charlottesville High School, who founded the BACON, the Best All-Around Club of Nerds, and has a remarkable curriculum that is being copied all around the United States, is going to participate in a moderated discussion with two former Science Fair winners from Charlottesville High School who now are at MIT. And they'll be flying in to have a discussion with probably, 600-plus high school students for this screening as well. And again, that's something free we offer to the community.
Right, and these screenings for high school students are also open to the public. So if you want to see Science Fair Thursday at 6 in Newcomb Hall Theater, you can go see that.
Yeah, it's really a lovely and uplifting film. It focuses specifically on the International Science and Engineering Fair in California. So it's inspirational in that it's following these individual students who are participating, but it's also something of a sociological piece because it's international teams coming to compete, and it's rather than drilling down into the hard sciences of it, it's more about that momentum of encouraging STEM study in younger students. I first saw the film at Sundance earlier this year, and it was the first ever winner of what was just started this year of the Audience Favorite Award equivalent at Sundance. Mm-hmm. So I remember that it was the first film sharing in the office when I got back. I was like, we've got to do this for our high school screening this year. And then about a week later, they announced that it had won the Audience Favorite Award.
Nice.
So, you know, it's a feel-good piece.
And this is a National Geographic film, which is part of a broader partnership that we're launching with National Geographic, not only during the Virginia Film Festival, but with the University of Virginia. The other two films are Free Solo, about Alex Honnold, the free climber who scaled El Capitan in Yosemite, and also Into the Okavango, which takes a look at the Okavango River and watershed in Africa. And we're actually going to have the filmmaker on hand for a discussion with that film, and we're going to be Skyping in the explorer from the Okavango. So that's really incredible. Later on in the end of February and the first day of March, we'll have an Nat Geo Storytellers and Explorers festival at the University of Virginia, which will also be open to the public as well. So this really sets the table for that partnership.
And Nat Geo, I got to say, I mean, they've been around forever. They've been doing some really interesting work lately, and so I'm glad to see that that continuing partnership with them. You mentioned some of the guests that are going to be here. I think we should pull back a bit and talk about some of our guests that we haven't mentioned. Let's start with Christoph Waltz, a household name.
Well, Christoph Waltz is truly one of my, if not my very favorite actor there today.
Yeah.
He's amazing. Surprisingly, not a household name that everybody goes, well, gee, who's Christoph Waltz again? And then you say Quentin Tarantino's Inglourious Bastards, mm-hmm. and you say Django Unchained, and mm-hmm. suddenly a light bulb goes off, and they go, oh my goodness, of course, he's so amazing.
Yeah.
And he really is. I think he leaves an indelible stamp on every role that he makes. You can't imagine anybody else playing that role. I think he's a favorite of Quentin Tarantino, and last year, our opening night film was Downsizing, that mm-hmm. was produced by mm-hmm. Mark Johnson, and Mark is bringing Christoph Waltz in with him this year. Mark, of course, is the longtime chair of the Virginia Film Festival Advisory Board, an Academy Award winner himself for having produced Rain Man, and of course he produces Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul. And he's going to moderate this tribute and conversation with Christoph Waltz, two-time Academy Award winner, on the stage of the Paramount on Saturday afternoon. And you really can't miss it. I think that's going to be absolutely fascinating look at Christoph Waltz's career. career and the mark that he's had in really a very, very short time. He won those two Academy Awards, I think, 3 years apart. Is that right, Wes?
Something like that, at least, yeah. And consecutively so with that Tarantino collaboration. It's kind of unparalleled.
Yeah, you know, he's one of those actors. I think if you open up the program and look on page 23, see his face, you go, oh, that guy, I love that guy. Yeah. So even if you don't know his
name. But I mean, really one of the leading actors of his generation, yeah. And just known again for putting such a memorable stamp on the roles that he creates. It's really fascinating, the work that he's done.
Yeah, one of my favorite films from about a year ago was Big Eyes.
Mm-hmm.
It was lovely. Well, let's talk about some of our other guests, because I talked about the panels. I think one of the other advantages of the Virginia Film Festival is that we bring in these filmmakers, and you get a chance to meet them and hear them speak and talk about their craft. Wes, who's on your list that you want people to know about?
Well, it's a really interesting mixture of people. We've already talked about Martin Luther King and mm-hmm. Ben Mankiewicz, but we also have Alan Hughes coming in a really interesting, multifaceted, kind of a mini residency. He'll be here to present his classic film, Menace to Society, his more recent documentary series, The Defiant Ones, which focuses on Dr. Dre and Jimmy Iovine. And we also offered him a guest programmer slot, which I always have an affinity for because it's a different way to get an artist really engaged to talk about influences and that being a working artist overall. We didn't share with him the fact that we were doing this big tribute to Orson Welles this year, mm-hmm. and the title that he came back with us and wanted to present himself and discuss was the Orson Welles film F for Fake, which is one of my favorites of Welles' oeuvre. So we'll be sitting down and talking through that. It's a super out there film, so I'm really interested to hear what Alan has to say about that. We're bringing in the documentarian Alexis Bloom. She will be presenting her new film, Divide and Conquer, which focuses on Roger Ailes. I'll note it's not a tribute. It's not a tribute to Roger Ailes. It really deconstructs all of the fallout of his ousting from Fox News and the ripples that have just built up incredible momentum throughout many areas of the entertainment and news industry that we're still very much riding the crest of that wave now. One of my favorite younger alternative, independent, whatever you want to call it, filmmakers, Joel Patrakis. He's joined us several times in the past. He's not able to join us in person this year, but we're showing his new film, Relaxer. And I'm excited because the star of the film, Joshua Burge, will be coming in. Folks might know him by sight from appearances in From Lincoln to different kind of bizarre independent fare to TV series. The other star of that film, Relaxer, is David Dasmalchian, who was in Ant-Man and a film we showed several years ago in which he and Joel actually met here at the Virginia Film Festival.
Mm-hmm.
When Joel was here two films ago for him, and they got to know each other, were hanging out in our filmmakers and sponsors lounge on the downtown mall, and said, we've got to make a movie together. And then they did. And we're going to be showing it this year. It's real gonzo kind of cinema, if you want to think about it that way. I will note that emetophobes might want to avoid this particular screening. There is one gloriously epic vomiting scene. and seriously, it was Joel's most expensive shot to date, special effects-wise, in any of his films. So I know he's very specifically proud about that. It focuses on this Y2K anxiety in this this Pac-Man challenge and just so much bizarreness packed into one thing. So that's a personal favorite of mine. We're bringing in a UVA alumna, Marion Moran, to present her documentary Run While You Can, which focuses on a young man trying to speed hike through the Pacific Coast Trail. And beyond that, it's just stunning the variety of voices and perspectives that are able to coalesce into a festival fabric, if you want to think about it that way, to include the French intellectual and film historian and Antoine de Bach, who will be presenting Bob le Flambeur to Michelle Jackson, a young African-American filmmaker who will be presenting another slave narrative, which she is still working on and may continue to be working on this project for 10 years or more to come. It's staged dramatic readings of this slave narrative project that originated in the early 20th century. It's a racially diverse cast, meaning white folks, Asian folks, Hispanic folks, performing these very intimate personal narratives from former slaves that were captured in via oral history in the early 20th century. And it's one of the films that we'll be presenting in the Jefferson School African American Heritage Center, really using our venues to their greatest potential in terms of tone and accessibility and openness in that way.
We also have two filmmakers that are traveling in from the Arctic Circle beyond Norway. They're Norwegian for their film, Karenina and I. Mm-hmm. We have a director coming in from Miami Beach for a personal favorite film of mine, The Last Resort, which chronicles Miami Beach in the early 1970s, pre-Miami Vice, and Jewish expatriates that had moved down from New York and the culture down there and the architecture and the entire feel of a Miami Beach that, frankly, I grew up in. I was born and raised in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and my parents used to take me down sometimes on the weekends to go to Wolfie's, a Jewish deli down there that had the best corned beef and pastrami on rye and breads, and it was fabulous. And the entire culture down there that now, by and large, is completely different and to an extent lost as well. So that's an incredible film. We also have a director, Greg Naughton, coming in. With the actress Kelly O'Hara, and that name might not be readily recognizable, but she is a two-time Tony Award winner, an incredible musical performer, theatrical performer from Broadway, and she is in a film that he directed and also stars in called The Independents. And this is Greg Naughton is a musician, a director for both theater and film, and he got together with his bandmates and did this road buddy film that's really, really, truly what independent filmmaking is all about. And it's called The Independents, and I highly recommend this film. And you should go out and discover these kind of gems during the Virginia Film Festival.
Well, what's nice is that the Virginia Film Festival has been around for a while. This is the 31st annual Virginia Film Festival, and we are at the point now that we have people coming here from everywhere because they want to come to Virginia Film Festival and visit Charlottesville and be treated so regally the way they are. You can find out more about the Virginia Film Festival by going to virginiafilmfestival.org. My guests are Jody Gilbasa and Wes Harris of the Virginia Film Festival. This is Sean McCord on the Wake Up Call on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. We'll be right back. This is Sean McCord on the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call with my guests Jody Gilbasa and Wes Harris of the Virginia Film Festival. You can pick up the Virginia Film Festival program all over town. The festival starts this week on Thursday, November 1st through 4th, with over 100 films. You can read about the films and purchase tickets on virginiafilmfestival.org. Hey, let me actually bring that up. If people go to virginiafilmfestival.org and they see films that they're interested in and they're sold out online, what do they do?
Well, they've got some recourse. That just means that advance tickets are sold out. There almost always are indeed some number of tickets that can be made available in a wait list line at the venue prior to the screening. We don't have control over when those lines might start.
Right.
But we just about always have the ability to accommodate at least a good number of those folks who are able to roll the dice and take advantage of some of the house seats that we may be able to release
And this is very common for film festivals. Right. Wesley and I attend film festivals all over the country in preparation for our own Virginia Film Festival, and almost all of them have last-minute rush lines, usually that start about 45 minutes to an hour before, and there's always some tickets available. So we really do encourage people going, checking out. Sometimes we'll also release a few last-minute online or leading up to as well. We really, it's important to us to fill all of our theaters. We want as many people as possible to see the films, and also we bring in these incredible guest artists, and we want to have full houses for them as well.
Right, so there's a film that you're just learning about now and you really want to go to, there are opportunities if you just show up and stand in line. And I've seen those lines. People usually get in. But if they do order tickets now through virginfilmfestival.org, where do people pick their tickets up?
So we've got two main box office locations, one in the UVA Drama Building. The Arts Box Office is right there inside mm-hmm. the lobby of the Colberth Theater, which we use as a festival venue. That's at 109 Colberth Road on UVA Arts Grounds. And we've also set up our official downtown headquarters in the lobby of the Violet Crown Cinema on the downtown mall, where we have merch and tickets available and programs and information all about the festival, and that'll be running, it is running now and will run through the festival itself.
Wes, you mentioned in passing, and I wanted to go back to the Orson Welles tribute that mm-hmm. That we're doing during the festival. Talk about some of those films.
So the first two films that I saw at the Telluride Film Festival this year were those that I was talking about earlier, the documentary, They'll mm-hmm. Love Me When I'm Dead, and the new Orson Welles film, The Other Side of the Wind. And that was the order in which I saw them, which is sort of a bizarre way to go about it. But it worked really well for me, because this new film, Other Side of the Wind, is so almost aggressively Wellesian that it sort of behooves an audience member to have at least some chance, some frame of mind going into the thing, because It's a film within a film. It has John Hughes playing this Orson Welles character, making a film called The Other Side of the Wind inside this film called The Other Side of the Wind. Peter Bogdanovich, in addition to having helped bring this thing to fruition decades later, stars in the film within the film, and then was involved in this documentary film about the film. So it's this really lovely I keep thinking of this idea of serendipity this year, because walking around at that festival, it was almost as if Welles was there walking around as an attending guest. It was very much of a current moment, instead of just doing the repertory work, which I love very much, like I said about Ephra Fake earlier.
We saw Elvis there as well, too.
Of course.
Yeah, he was linked arms with Bigfoot, and they were off on the side street. In addition to those three, we're kicking it off with another new Orson Welles documentary on the Thursday of the festival called The Eyes of Orson Welles. And this is just a lovely, much more intimate portrait and kind of conversation between the filmmaker and Welles' archives of drawings and paintings and notes. And it truly is presented as this dialogue back and forth, this kind of very clearly enamored filmmaker almost taking these letters and drawings and making it into a love letter of his own to Orson. So it's a really special year, and it's nothing that we could have kind of forced, and it just happened. And I'm just really proud and very personally excited, because these are some just really lovely films. And the fact that there's Oscar buzz in 2018 for Orson Welles to potentially win a Best Directing Oscar is just insanity.
Yeah. Okay. So we're all a bunch of film nerds. We could probably spend the next hour talking about Orson Welles, but we won't do that, because we only have about 15 minutes left. But you know, in addition to the films, you all throw some awesome parties. Mm. We should at least mention those in passing. The opening night and the closing night.
Well, the word festival does mean to celebrate.
Exactly.
And so as a result, we're celebrating these great films and these great artists who have traveled in. I think we'll have close to 150 guest artists that will travel in and be part of the Virginia Film Festival this year. And so, yes, immediately following the opening night film, the opening night screening of Green Book at the Paramount Theater, we are in the Jefferson Theater starting up at 9:30 p.m. with our opening night gala. And it's a great event. You can certainly buy tickets online to attend that. A lot of the filmmakers and special guests of the festival will be on hand as well as we kick the festival off officially. And then on Saturday evening, we have our late night wrap party. Now, of course, the festival continues through Sunday until at least 10 o'clock at night with screenings at all of our venues. But on Saturday evening, it's an opportunity starting up at 10 p.m. And we have a new venue this year. We're very thrilled to announce that the late night wrap party will be at the Three Notch Kitchen and Brewery. It's a great space with great libations, I might add, as well. And that starts up at 10 p.m. And again, almost all of the guests, the special guests, will be at that party. Our filmmakers, festival staff, and there's usually between 400 and 500 people there, and it's a lot of fun. So that's a relatively modest price to get into that event. There's great food and great beer and wine and cocktails and some dancing as well, I might add. So it's a fun event.
But more acrobats.
But more than anything, it's a great opportunity to meet some of the special guests. And if you happen to catch their films, strike up a conversation with them. Everybody's in a great mood. They're excited that they've had a great screening, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, because on that note, I'll add, too, that it is the caliber and the energy of our audiences here that determines so much of that experience for the filmmakers that we bring in. We hear year after year that the conversations and discussions, and both in the theater and just walking around town with festival attendees, they're just flabbergasted by the excitement, the energy, the intellect of the audience that we attract. And that's an enormous part of how we then send them back out into the industry, send these guests back home in the world to as ambassadors of ours, returning guests who spread the word to other filmmakers and talk up the audiences in Charlottesville and more specifically the Virginia Film Festival. I mean, that's buzz you can't buy. And it's one of the reasons that I'm most grateful to our audiences for that, because it's they are an enormous part of the flavor of our festival.
And that's true, Wes. I get an opportunity to talk to many filmmakers and guests every year, and across the board, they talk about how well they're treated when they come to the Virginia Film Festival. And these are many times filmmakers who've been doing back-to-back festivals, showing their films, and then they come to Charlottesville, and they're all just treated like royalty by the professionals at the Virginia Film Festival, but also by the community and the students, the interns, and the many, many volunteers from the community that we have working at the festival.
That's right. We every year we have usually around 300 or 300 plus volunteers, and a couple of them have been with us for 31 years,
yeah,
which to me is just extraordinary. It blows my mind. But a number of others have been at least 20 years or longer that they keep volunteering every year. It's so important to them, and I think they recognize how important the festival is not only to the community at large, but how it also represents Charlottesville outside of our community as well.
Well, I'm a longtime volunteer. I remember when my wife and I moved here in the early 90s, being at venues and running microphones up and down the aisles during Q&A, and then I had to take a pause. We had to take a pause for a few years while we had kids. And it took us a while to then get to the point where we could start coming back to the festival and get involved with the festival. But in recognition of that, you all do a family day every year. Can we talk a bit about that?
Well, we did. I touched upon that a little bit earlier. But that also, when I moved here, I had a 1-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 7-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all a little bit older now. but, that being said, I recognized that I wanted to have a day set aside with free screenings. In the past, we focused on Disney or Pixar classics. But we found that it's a great opportunity for parents, maybe for the first time, to comfortably bring their children children to the theater for a shared movie experience. You know, in these days of when, you know, so often you put a DVD in or you stream something in the back of your minivan, to actually go into a movie theater with your young children, 3, 4, 5, and experience that and have a comfort zone of knowing that you're going to be surrounded by other young moms and dads with their young children. You're not going to have to worry if suddenly your child decides they want to run around the aisle for a second, or maybe they're a little upset about something. It's a real comfort area to come in and watch a screening this way. And we've had a whole generation of young kids in Charlottesville whose very first movie experience has been at the Virginia Film Festival. We also have a bunch of interactive arts workshops that day. The Charlottesville Symphony has a petting zoo, so your young child can actually reach out and interact and touch with the musical instruments and find out about how they make sound and also how they make sound effects for films as well. So this is all part of something that we feel is creating an audience for our future. And it's from 10 to 3 at the Betsy and John Castine Arts Grounds at the University of Virginia. There's a great free parking garage that's just 50 yards away, and it's really accessible. And that's Saturday morning, November 3rd, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. You just show up, and it's all free.
And you can find out about it going to the website of virginiafilmfestival.org or open up the program right here to page 56 with all the details about the family day. Another thing that you do that you've been doing the past few years, which I really like, is the sensory-friendly screening. And this year, that's on Thursday, October 18th. Wes, what's a sensory-friendly screening?
So it's in partnership with the Autism Theater Project, which is headed by some students at UVA. It typically mirrors what we do as the first event in our Family Day screenings. This year, it's a package of short films that I curated with our associate programmer. And essentially, the what allows it to be more approachable or less jarring for individuals who are either with autism or on a spectrum to attend is we keep the lights a little bit sort of at half darkness, so it's not so isolating. Make sure that the volume levels aren't jarring or loud or sudden transitions or anything like that. We keep it to a manageable running time, and especially with the short films approach, it's easy to sort of dip in and out if necessary, so we can provide a sort of what the group calls sort of a fidget space outside of the theater itself, with if you need to take a break, step outside, just sort of sit in a quiet spot. They have objects and caretakers there, so it's a really worthy set of work that group is doing that we're really happy to be able to have provided a platform for the last couple of years.
You know, one of the things that I also wanted to talk about a little bit is, you know, how each year Wesley and I are pretty thoughtful in trying to include films that we feel will resonate strongly within our community that reflect who we are here in Charlottesville. And I think we know that we're a foodie town. We also know that there's a commitment to sustainable farming and farm-to-table movement as well. And we have a strong farming community and the incredible farmers market, which I think recently was voted one of the best farmers markets in the country here as well. And to that end, there are two films I think that are kind of fun during the festival. One is Chef Flynn. Wesley, want to talk about that? And then I'm going to talk a little bit about The Biggest Little Farm.
Sure. Yeah, I was able to enjoy Chef Flynn up at the AFI Docs Film Festival earlier this summer. It focuses on this young man starting around age 13, 14, who, with the assistance of his parents in California, would host these just really world-class, almost like a supper club, dinner party type affair, where people would buy a seat at their house and he would cook these meals of Michelin-level gastronomic creations that really put him on the map, to the degree that now he's a couple of years older, but working as a professional chef in kitchens in New York, and the journey that it took from the living room to some of the highest profile restaurants in Manhattan.
And The Biggest Little Farm was one of my favorite films that I saw at the Telluride Film Festival, and it is actually winning awards all over the country at major film festivals right now. And it takes a look at a young couple living in Santa Monica that actually were evicted from their small apartment because their dog barked too much. And the wife was a personal chef, and she had always wanted to have a farm, and she wanted the farm to be like the farm you see in a little kid's golden book. You know, there were peaches and plums and oranges and all these incredible vegetables and pigs and geese and ducks and chickens and cows. And that's not the way we farm today, generally. Mm-hmm. And so they set out to find a farm and get investors. They did not have a lot of money. They got investors, and they bought a farm about an hour and a half north of Santa Monica, California. And it had been an abandoned orchard, and they bulldozed it, and they had kind of a farm guru who told them, you can do this without using pesticides, without killing varmints that might prey upon your crops, and you just need to set out to do it in an intelligent way. And after some hit and miss for 7 years, they now have a farm that has almost every possible fruit you can imagine that would grow in Southern California, incredible crops, incredible livestock as well in the film. And it's a beautiful film for families. You actually see 17 little baby pigs that are born. They do not use pesticides. When they had blackbirds that were eating their peaches, they brought in barn owls. Guess what? They don't have blackbirds anymore. And they found out that the ladybugs would eat the aphids, so they would bring in the ladybugs to do that. It's an incredible, beautifully filmed, heartwarming, family-friendly story called The Biggest Little Farm, and I recommend everybody see it.
All right, I'm going to take the last minute to plug what I'm doing at the film festival this year, because this show, you as my guest on the Wake Up Call, is the first of the Virginia Film Festival podcast that I get to do every year, where I get to meet guests and filmmakers on the downtown mall during the festival, talk to them, do audio podcasts. And we're doing something a little different this year. We're also in collaboration with the community idea stations that we mentioned earlier, are going to be doing Facebook Live videos. So in addition to the recorded podcast, which we post shortly after the recorded, we're actually doing live videos with guests and filmmakers at the Festival Studio, which is the Community Idea Station's Media Center downtown. All of these podcasts, all the Facebook Live videos, everything are going to be available on the Virginia Film Festival website at virginiafilmfestival.org/podcast, including this show. Jody Kielbasa, director of the Virginia Film Festival, Wes Harris, programmer of the Virginia Film Festival, thank you very much for coming in again, for being my guest. I hope people are listening in and getting very excited, and that they'll all go to virginiafilmfestival.org and order their tickets and listen to our podcast on virginiafilmfestival.org/podcast. This is Sean McCord. You've been listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.
This has been the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. The Wake-Up Call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Strength is in their fuel. Engineering assistance is from Mike Friend. The Wake-Up Call is produced by Dan Gould. Show archives can be found at SevillePodcast.com. Be sure and join Rick next Sunday morning for another edition of The Wake-Up Call, only on 94.7 WPVC.